Hey, everybody, what is going on? Oh, am I being loud already?
I think it's loud, yeah.
My bad. I am Greg Lehman. Welcome to Mind Your Hive's Beekeeping Podcast. Here with my beautiful wife, Kara Jo.
Hello, hello.
We are doing this podcast remotely. Is that what that's called? Remotely?
Yeah.
We brought the studio with us on a little summer vacation. We are up in the very tip of New Hampshire, Pittsburgh, New Hampshire, without the H, the true Pittsburgh.
Hard G.
Yeah, hard G.
It's August 14th.
Yeah, 2021. And so this is like our happy place. And I mean, we just love it up here. This is where we got married a little over
8 years ago.
Yeah. Television just turned on next to us. It's weird.
It's a good song. We don't know how to turn it off.
I wonder if like the neighbors used the remote and it turned our TV on because our TV was turned off. That was weird. Anyway, so we're up in like a cabin. We're on a lake. We're on the first
Connecticut Lake.
Yeah, first Connecticut Lake. And this is our last day. So we're leaving tomorrow. We've been here for like a week. But, dudes, this is just a crazy story.
On the way up, we'll start with...
By the way, we're drinking right now. We might drink a few beers and some stuff of this episode.
We're definitely drinking a few beers.
Cheers, honey.
Afternoon drinking on vacation.
So we just cracked... this beer's extra special for us. We just cracked the Threes Brewing. So Threes is New York City, Brooklyn Brewery. They've got like 5 locations now. They're awesome. But this was a collab with Threes Brewing and Forest of Maine, the brewery I work for. And they used our honey. And these guys are like the sweetest. They're just the best people. They put our little Mind Your Hive's beekeeping logo on the bottle.
It's so cool.
It's just a little tiny thing in the back. But it's just like, that was totally just them, a little like loving gesture towards us, I think. That was so cool.
And it's also cool because your goal when we like really ramped up this beekeeping thing and you were going to do it as part of your like full-time job more so, was to sell beer to breweries. And this is the culmination. Like, this
I
is a culmination.
Mean sell honey to breweries.
Yes, sell honey to breweries.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely this trend of, and I mean, this is a mixed fermentation saison. This is a barrel aged saison. There's honey is widely used by some really, really rad breweries that really appreciate better ingredients. Better pizza, Papa John's. What's that saying? But they appreciate better ingredients, local ingredients, more artisanal. It's hard to explain, you know, like we get our malt from a local maltster at Deer Creek in Pennsylvania. And it's just like you're like working directly with the farmers kind of a thing. And these folks, they're already doing that. So I was like, I would love if Kara Jo Bee Farm, if we can be that honey provider for a lot of those folks, because you know you learn to trust, and we love these people and we hang out with them, and it's like, you know, they get what we're doing, we get what they're doing, and it's not just buying buckets of honey that you don't know where it's coming from. And yeah, this is really cool. This is the second or third time they've used our honey. I think it's the second time. They might have another one like literally going right now, but this is the second time, and it just makes me so happy. And this beer is so good. It's so good. We got a sneak peek of it a few weeks ago at Local 44 in Philadelphia. This great little restaurant and bottle shop. And they had it on draft. They just had like one keg come into town, and we went in and tried it.
And kicked the keg.
Oops. So shout out to our boys over at Local 44. They're awesome. So anyway, all right. This trip has been mind-blowing. From the jump, but it started off like super rocky. So we have an electric car. It gets like give or take 250 miles from the jump, and then when we recharge it, typically like maybe 200-170 we can recharge it to. So when we're planning a trip that's like, I don't know, what is this, 500 or 600 miles from our house?
Yeah, it's 10 hours. It's all the way like when New Hampshire kind of goes up in that little like
the first time shout we out. Came here, we were like, shit, we don't have any cell phone service. And then it was messages popped up on our phone that was like, would you like to connect to Verizon Canada? We're like, oh, wow, we're up here.
Yeah, it's so beautiful up here.
A little bit better now. We're like actually getting cell phone service in some areas. Like it's in the last 10 years probably.
Yeah, it's been 10 years.
We've seen it grow, which is cool. But all right, so we're on our way and we decided, all right, let's leave a couple days early and we'll just camp somewhere in Vermont. Weather was looking awesome. We're like, all right, we'll camp somewhere. It'll be cheap. Then we'll continue on and get to our cabin and we'll be here for like 5 nights. So I used the app or the company Hip Camp for the first time. Hip Camp is like Airbnb, but for campsites, not houses. And it seemed, I mean, seemed like pretty awesome. Found a bunch of spots, like, you know, people that are just renting out areas on their farms or at on their properties that they've, you know, added a little fire pit to, maybe put a compost toilet out there. And we found this spot in Vermont and it was like on a little creek.
Swimming hole.
There was a few swimming holes.
The way like, to Greg's heart is a good swimming hole.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Swimming holes roll. So found a spot, booked it, and then we started getting messages from the owner.
You did.
Well, it was connected to my phone.
Yeah. After this all happened, you read me all the messages, and I was like, oh my God, this has been going on for like days. It was so like, Weirdoville.
Yeah. So like we booked it, you know, 2-3 weeks ago or something, and I start getting messages, and she's like, there's 3 sites on the property. You picked the one site, but I think this other site is better. And I'm like, yeah, cool, whatever. Like, if you want us to move sites and you think it's a better site, let's sure move it. And then it was like nonstop this like, I don't know how to work technology and change your sites, so you need to cancel your trip, but you're going to get charged money for canceling that I can't refund you. I'm like, lady, I'm not going to cancel and lose money and then rebook it for more. I'll just stay at the original site. Like, whatever, dude. Like, it's just two of us. And we were trying to be nice. Like, there's 3 sites. And when you read about them, one was like, this is for bigger groups. And then this one was really good for 2 people. And we're like, all right, we'll take the 2-person. So whatever. It was just, this lady is clearly a dingbat. But I just wanted her. I was hoping she was like this nice old hippie lady or something. And she just didn't know how to work technology. So I was trying to give her the benefit of the doubt the whole time.
Yeah, you were really nice.
Yeah, very patient. Not like always my best trait, but I was good because we're coming up to our like paradise. So about an hour before we get to our final charging spot, which is Montpelier, Vermont, and we're like 10 minutes from her. So we're about an hour and 10 minutes from arrival. She sends us a message that's like, oh, you need to give me $60 if you're bringing your dogs. And I'm like, huh? What do you think? We're camping. You don't pay extra for dogs. Like you're on Hip Camp, it said dogs are allowed. Like what are you talking about? We're camping. How are you charging us for dogs? And she's like, it's in the policy. And she sends me, and dude, again, this lady's like a dingbat. She just had paragraph after paragraph of like
rambling,
run on rambling sentences,
like nothing you would have ever been able to find policy in.
And somewhere in her incoherent rambling, it said, I view dogs as members of the family, therefore you need to put them as guests. And I was like, all right, it didn't say when you add them as guests, you get charged $15 a night for each guest.
Also, you said that you had to add email addresses for the guests. So it was not happening.
So I saw like the add them as guests and I was like, all right, I guess she just wants, it didn't say anything about money. I was like, I guess she just wants to know how many like people and dogs are in our party for like her own sake. So I went back onto Hip Camp and this is before she hits me up. And I was like, oh, we decided we're bringing both of our dogs. We weren't sure in the beginning if we're going to bring our old man, Duncan, who's 16 and cars are tough for him. But we decided to bring him. So I go back in. I'm like, all right, add 2 guests. And it's like, the only way to add guests is if you have their email, you add their email address. And I'm like, my dogs don't have email addresses. I'm not adding these. So I just texted her with like, hey, we decided to bring our 2 dogs, just so you know. And that's when she hit us back with, great, you're going to need to give me $60. So I'm like, I literally was like, fine, like first for everything, but we'll pay your fee in cash, but $60 for camping and bringing dogs for two nights is absurd. Like, it's like double the cost that we were paying for ourselves.
We're not even paying that much for this cabin for a week with our extra fee with our dogs.
It's yeah.
like ridiculous. So, okay, so you're driving. I'm in the passenger seat. And it pops up that she text messages Greg. And Greg's like, okay, what'd she say? Read it. And it's this more.
I mean, it is like, you know, rambling. On an iPhone, you have to like, scroll and it like goes fast up. It was like multi swipes yes. to get through the whole thing. And it was crazy long.
Oh, I don't even remember what it said, but I'm reading it out loud and I'm like, what is this woman talking about? And it's just like, I'm sorry we couldn't make this work. Meanwhile, Greg
She's like,
just,
I bent over backwards yeah. for you. I'm like, well, I didn't request anything. Like,
I
you
needed
did
so that you would get the best campsite, and I've accommodated everything, and I've lost money on this, and all of this stuff. And I was like, I don't even know. Like, it was just insane. And then the next text message that comes up is canceled. Your reservation is canceled. And we were like an hour away from
it's
going
like
here.
It's 5 o'clock at night. Like, we're in an electric car, so it's not like we can just be like, oh, we're just going to go an hour out of the way now to go somewhere else. Like, you plan out your trip with charging spots. So I'm like, well, I have the direct, and then you can't access the directions after they cancel your trip. But I had taken screenshots of everything in case we didn't have service.
Anyway.
And I was like, yeah, well, I was like, we'll talk about this in person. And I'm like, I don't know what we're doing, dude, but I'm just going to show up and be like, hopefully it was going to be like, Kara, can you like work your charm?
Yeah, I was going to, I already like, whatever, I had it planned. And so then we start driving and she text messages him again. And
this would be like 10 minutes before expected arrival.
And she's like, do not come here. I don't have the emotional capacity to deal with this conversation. This is my sanctuary. Like, but like, you're
creating,
crazy. You're creating yeah. all of this stuff.
There's plenty of instances where I would have flown off the handle and dropped, said terrible things to this woman. I didn't do any of that.
You really didn't.
Literally,
all I said
was like, we'll pay your fee. This is that $60 is absurd.
But it's absurd to pay. Yeah. So then we were like, okay, we can't go to this spot. So we pull over because there's not service all over the place.
Yeah,
so
we
get
service
and we pull over and Greg's like, let's just stay here. It's like elderberry and rye farm, whatever.
Yeah, it's right next to Hill Farmstead, this brewery yeah. up in northern Vermont.
Greensboro.
It was a half hour further than where we were expecting. So we could pull it off with the car. We're like, I think we're going to be fine here. Like, this will, whatever. It doesn't have like a watering hole that and whatever. But we don't have a lot of options. So screw it. It was on like, I had put it on our favorites list. So luckily it was like somewhere I had kind of looked at before.
So then this
bare
guy,
bones, no real information though. Like,
no, but not it, but pictures. We didn't, it's camping. Like, you yeah, don't really exactly. know anything. So we are driving and we get a call from Todd. He leaves us a message. He seems like a lovely human being. I was like, yes, Todd. Who cares about that crazy Kathy lady?
Yeah, her name was Kathy, K-A-T-H-I-E, which Kathy is a horrible name.
Sorry if your name is
Kathy.
Yeah,
if your name is Kathy, I feel bad for you. The worst woman I know is named Kathy. So it's been ruined.
But he seemed lovely and we're like, okay, this is the right
spot. Do you
spot.
Remember we were in Montpelier, we're sitting at dinner at Positive Pie, like, what is going on with our lives right now? And he leaves a message and I play it and you're like, I already feel really good about this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm already happier we're going with Todd
yeah,
than with Kathy.
Todd. Let's go, Todd. Let's give you our money, Todd. I want to support you. So we drive there. It's beautiful. There's no service there, which is amazing.
Yeah.
So we got 2 days with like no service.
And
just
he
like,
even said like on the way, he was like, hey, when you go through this town, you'll get service. Text me your ETA. He's like, when you leave Montpelier, text me your ETA. And then when you get through this town, text me. It's the only time you'll have service.
So we pull up to his house and he's like in the fields. What was he doing? Cutting rye? Is that what it was?
He was like on a brush mower. I think he was just clearing like the side of the road of like a lot of brush and stuff.
Okay.
Just like a heavy duty lawnmower. It's raining. He's like
soaking wet.
But dude, it's just farming, you know?
How old is Todd?
I'm so bad at guessing the
age. Oh yeah,
ages.
You're really bad at that. We couldn't
in
figure
his 50s,
out.
50s? 60s. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. People that like work outside and are beekeepers, a lot of times I think they're younger than they are. And sometimes I think they're older than they
are.
Yeah.
He's like farmer, like for real. So
yeah, it's got that farmer strength going on.
And he's just so sweet. So we pull up and you want to tell the story?
I don't exactly know what you're going to say, but we introduce ourselves and like whatever. And he's like, all right, follow me. I'll take you over and show you where the outhouse is, show you where the farm, where you'll stay. And I think he had said, I had walked away because our blind deaf dog ran away and I had to go grab him.
And Kima was chasing the cat there, his barn cat.
Yeah. So
and so we had looked him up on Instagram. He was a beekeeper. So I was like, we're beekeepers.
Yeah, of course. Like, it's meet us for like 30 seconds and so we're going to probably tell you we're beekeepers.
We're beekeepers. So he was like, oh, that's great. Like, whatever. Well, and then we're talking, it's getting dark and...
I had seen a beehive at his house,
but we also saw it on Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You tell.
So I was like, oh, so how many hives do you have? He's like, well, you know, at one point I had 1900. I'm just down to a handful now. We're like 1900. Oh my God. That's like, dude, that's like real legit. That is like serious commercial beekeeping. And he was like, well, let's not say the name of his farm, just because I don't know if he wants this out there to everybody. Yeah. But he goes, yeah, I'm actually the original founder and beekeeper of Bar Hill Gin.
You should have seen Greg and I. We were like air high-fiving, giggling like little kids. We're like,
What? You're Todd Hardy? What? You're the top. You're that guy? Like, I know of you.
Yeah, we were like, we know you.
Like, we shout out our buddy Jay Rose. Jay Rose, first time he ever came over to our house, maybe the only time, he brought multiple things of Bar Hill gin. He's like, dude, you got to try this. It's made with honey. It's like the amazing gin.
And we're not like gin people.
Nah, I don't like drinking Pine Sol, so I'm not a big gin person.
But it's good.
Bar Hill is amazing. We actually might have to pop a bottle of that too while we're on talking. But anyway, so he's like, I'm this dude. And we're like, well, you're what? And we knew he had sold Bar Hill to this Caledonia
Spirits,
and but he was still involved. But now he's just like he farms rye and like, he even told us he's like does bee venom therapy, and we're like, oh my God, you're saying all the most amazing things.
We're like, I've never like stayed somewhere and like wanted to hang out with like the Airbnb host.
Yeah, usually like I don't even want to see them. Yeah,
and I was like, can you come back? Let's talk. Let's hang out. You want a beer?
Yeah. So he just was like this loving, like
sweet
dude. Yeah. That like he drew a handwritten map and was
like, oh my God, his
here are some cool
amazing
places to go, and just like, but. Talk about a turn of events. Like, and by the way, we stayed in this lean-to on his property that used to be where like his favorite pig, mama pig, whose name was Petunia, where she was, but unfortunately they couldn't keep the pig thing going and now he just farms rye. But it was
there
just,
were many Charlotte's webs in that area though.
He was
huge,
like
huge barn spiders.
He's like, please honor Petunia, she was like the most loving animal, like this is where she lived. I mean, it wasn't a pig pen, it was clean and whatever, but like that's just like so us.
Yeah. So we ended totally up like talking to him. And he said what? They add the honey to the gin after.
Yeah. 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 We're not going to get into like how they make their stuff proprietary wise.
Oh.
I don't know what we're supposed to know and what we're not. So we're not going to talk about any of that. But, and he was even like, I shouldn't say anything else.
Oh.
Yeah. Kara doesn't pick up on social cues like that sometimes with people.
I don't know. I didn't know that was a thing.
Anyway, so I just like talk about a turn of events. We have this crazy Kathy. She tries to totally mess up our trip by just being a psychopath. And then we get introduced to this amazing legend. And this dude like he started beekeeping when he was 12 years old with his brother who was 9 years old in Maryland. Shout out Maryland. And then he grew to 1900 hives. He was talked about like when the tracheal mites and Varroa mites came in and it was so hard to keep bees, and he moved them to South Carolina thinking it would help like in the wintertime, and like he just battled with it. And he also talked about how he said it multiple times, for 60 years raw honey wasn't a thing. People were heating their honey and pasteurizing their honey, and he from the jump refused to not have raw honey. He was like, it has to be raw honey or else it's not
medicinal.
It loses all its good qualities, which is exactly how we think. And I mean, we're not alone in that by any means, but it seemed like he was...
I mean, he called himself the Maverick of raw honey.
Did he really? Yeah. That sounds crazy. He said Maverick of raw honey? He said
Maverick. I'm like, I don't really hear anybody except for like John McCain use that word when he was like running for president.
Yeah, Maverick of raw honey. That's like my next lower back
he
tattoo,
said that
I think.
Everybody... He said that all the New York beekeepers were like chastising him for keeping his honey raw, and they called him the Vermont boy.
Yeah, like you're raw honey. You're like a hippie or something, like you're keeping your honey raw. This beer is so good. Yeah, and he was like, I refused. And then now it's a thing again. Like raw honey is a big deal. And people start to understand it, but like really to think of that, like he saw so many changes in beekeeping. He saw it get harder and harder. He linked it up with distilling and with this gin, and he like...
Which we won't tell you how he makes it. He also was selling his gin at farmers markets.
Yeah, he said Vermont has always been so good to farmers like that, that he was able to sell gin originally to farmers at farmers markets.
And that's how
and
he
just
like
raw honey as a whole.
Advertised and did all that kind of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, Vermont, like ahead of its time when it comes to that stuff for sure.
Yeah, and then, I think I'm allowed to say this. He's working for Run Amok maple, and he's like wholesaling their honey. So
yeah,
I think
it was like a maple syrup type company that's branching out and is sourcing proper honey.
So
and
I'm
he's
thinking,
the guy that like is like, this is, you know, we can trust these folks. Let's bring in their honey. And
right. So Run Amok honey is probably going to be a good source of like commercial honey.
So cool.
Yeah.
It just, the universe totally gave us this nod of like, craziness is happening to you. Well, guess what?
And we just camped in the rye field.
You get to meet this legend. And we camped in this just beautiful rye
field.
And
I didn't know how beautiful rye is.
And it was right before harvest. Like, he literally harvested it the day we left.
Yeah.
So we saw it like peak beauty.
So pretty.
I mean, dead. Like, it was all, you know.
There's beauty in death.
I guess it's considered dead. I mean, it's seeds. They're not dead.
Or mature.
Like, the... You know, plant essentially dies before it drops seeds, which is when you, right before that is when you want to harvest, right?
I have no idea.
I would like to look it up. He sent us, it's kind of cool texting with Todd, but he like, was like, this is what I had to do today. And he sent us all these words. I was like, I have no idea what it takes to harvest rye. This sounds crazy.
I think he was just giving us an excuse of why he couldn't hang out with us. Cause we were like, at one point he was like, okay, I got to go. I can't talk to you guys anymore. We're like, okay, we'll talk later.
Man, we just crushed through that bottle. I'm gonna go grab another beer, take it out the fridge so it warms up a little bit.
Okay.
But
do you want to pause, or I can ramble about
ramble
something.
A little bit, and maybe I'll take it out.
What am I gonna ramble about? let's see. What are we talking about next? Oh, Greg is going to get Forest Domain's Collective Consciousness, which is the second year they've made this beer. It's a honey saison made with our honey. And Dan Endicott does the artwork, and he created this beautiful like honeycomb artwork around the
can.
It's
like watercolor
honey.
It's
gorgeous.
It's gold. So go to Farson Main's Instagram and look at this. It's just such a beautiful can.
Yeah. So we're going to finish this Threes beer and crack this can.
I really love honey and beer is pretty rad because it, especially with like a mixed culture beer, meaning there's a lot of different types of yeast and bacteria that are doing their thing to create that product, final product. Honey is very microbially selective, right? So I just made up that term, but honey chooses what bacteria it likes and what it doesn't like. And it like can clean things up. So it's really interesting in barrel aged beers. And then this Forest Domain Collective Consciousness uses a foraged yeast, which is, you know, like it's not like a one single yeast that has been grown in a lab. It has a whole lot of different yeasts in it and microbes in it. And I think the honey just works really, really well. And that's like kind of, to me, true saison. Like that's the origins of saison is just this foraged yeast and local beautiful ingredients, and then using something like honey. I mean, that's such like a farm product, you know, farmhouse ale.
So when
this beer is so rad.
When Jared farges the yeast, he takes like different cuttings of plants, right?
Yeah, so he swabs the same few plants on the Forest Domain property.
So he doesn't cut them. He takes a swab of them?
I think he swabs them. He might cut them and then swab them. But
okay.
Yeah, I know he does the swabbing. And then just introduces that swab, like literally just like dips it into a little sugar bath, so to speak, to see what it'll start growing.
It's so crazy.
Yeah, then it starts growing and then,
so
you know, he's telling on this by the scent. Like, it's always interesting that first beer of the year that's made with that year's yeast to see what it does. And I think this year's foraged yeast to me is like very traditional Belgian yeast. It's like really reminds me of what a Belgian farmhouse ale flavors are given off, so to speak. And it's cool, but it's really rad that like last year's was totally different. The year before that was totally different, but it's the same plant at the same time of year.
So it's always the same plants. So,
yeah.
Huh. And then, so this foraged yeast, does it come in liquid form that they add to the beer?
Yeah, you grow it.
It's like a sugar water and then...
Yeah, but then you grow it into like a 5-gallon, you know. You keep feeding it and then you feed it beer wort. So you feed it the...
So it's like a mother of like sourdough kind
of. Yeah. And then you use a bunch of it and then you feed it again and it grows back up and you use it in the next batch. You take... We get into top cropping and different techniques of brewing that we don't need to get into, but you continuously use that yeast and you keep feeding it and regrowing it and then sometimes you hold it for years. Sometimes you go like, all right, that was last year's.
The honey that you add to the beer feeds the yeast also.
Yeah, so honey is such a easily consumed sugar source for yeast and bacteria that it just plays really well and it gives a little alcohol boost like this. Collective Conscious is like a little over 6%, I think. Just a point or so higher than most of our Saisons. So it gives a little more juice. Yeast creates a little bit more alcohol. That's also why it makes it dry. So in beer, there's sweet and there's dry. So Saisons should be dry, meaning all the sugars have been consumed by that yeast. Because the honey is such a simple sugar, the yeast is able to consume all of it, making it a dry, beautiful finish, not like a sweet, lingering, cloying finish that you get in a lot of beers that aren't as good.
And then there's that thing that you always say about yeast farting and burping. Can you say that?
What's next? You're going to be like, what does IPA stand for?
No, that's it. But I think that's interesting. People don't know
that. Yeah. So yeast, the way beer is made is essentially wort, W-O-R-T, is the sugars that are derived from malt, you know, from grain. Those feed the yeast. The yeast eats those sugars and it farts CO2, that's carbonation, and it essentially pukes or poops alcohol, and that is literal alcohol.
Let's drink it. Okay, so that has nothing to do with the honey.
No, but the honey, like the, I really feel, and I haven't dove into any studies on this or anything, but I really feel like the honey goes like, I like you, yeast or bacteria. I like you. I'm going to let you eat me and you're going to thrive and flourish and, you know, make these beautiful flavors. I don't like you. You're not allowed to eat me, or go ahead and eat me. You die when you eat me, which we've talked about so many times, which is the antimicrobial properties of honey.
Last episode.
Yeah. And it's beautiful. I mean, we talk about honey as far as apitherapy goes, and honey is, what's the term where it's like, it helps bad bacteria or kills bad bacteria, but doesn't mess with good bacteria. It like, you know,
I don't know.
Yeah, I got to look back in our notes and figure that out. But there's a term for it. And guess what? Honey does beneficial. It. Propolis does it. Bee venom does it. No. Okay. Beneficial is what it is, but there's a specific word.
Don't know.
But so this beer is called Collective Consciousness. It's so good. But
you're not ready.
Really
for it.
I'm gonna crack liked it. What we started talking about the other day. There's all these ravens up here. I love that sound. There's all these ravens up here.
So there's... It's interesting about up here. I mean,
so like I made the comment to Kara, we like saw these ravens and I was like, dude, ravens are so smart. And Kara's like, well, another thing I'm going to just go start looking up when
Googling
we get home.
Constantly. There's so much. What is Pittsburgh, New Hampshire has like, do you remember what's the pop? It's like certain square mileage.
It's the largest town in the lower 48 states acreage wise. So like the town of Pittsburgh is like some crazy huge amount of acreage. But it only has a full-time population of 900 people. But in peak snowmobile season, they can get up to 10,000 people in this town. Wow. So snowmobile season is actually more of a peak than summertime lake season.
It's pretty interesting being here because there's so much wildlife, but there's so much woods and forest that you don't, they're doing their own thing. They're not really coming out seeing people that much.
Yeah,
like even we've been trying for 10 years to see moose. We saw some moose poop that I was really excited about the other day. That's as close as I've gotten. But we were hiking and we went to a watering hole, of course, at a waterfall. And so we did see ravens. We were driving like through the woods and we saw ravens. They were huge.
Oh my God. So big and so shiny and like that, so dark. They're like black and purple.
Oh, gorgeous.
Rad birds.
So came home, Googled ravens because I knew crows were really, really smart.
Yeah.
And you said ravens are smarter than crows.
Yeah. To me, ravens are like a more evolved crow. Although, yeah, I think it may be the dog reverse.
Snorting. He's done it.
Do you think you can hear that?
So I don't know. I'm guessing. You can. Just wanted to address it. So, yet then we found out, like, interesting.
You're afraid that somebody would be like, I think Kara farted. I think that was Kara farting.
No, I wasn't thinking that. But now I can freely.
That was just the dog, I swear.
Yeah, so when I looked up ravens, I found out that they have, let me open up my thing. There's like this
idea.
Dude,
you're crushing beers. You already finished
I'm
the last
vacation,
glass?
I'm on vacation, man.
I'm loving this.
Yeah, pour me this one. I didn't even pour it.
Oh, you didn't pour it. I thought your glass was already empty. I was like, dude, you
chugged that. No, I didn't. I opened it and then it was foaming, so I let it sit.
Okay. I'm obsessed with this slowly we learn from threes. This beer is so beautiful. Wish I had another bottle right now.
So what I found out was that ravens, along with only four other known animals, which are bees, ants, and humans.
And humans actually counts at, like, ape.
Okay, so I was wondering into, that ape extends into that. Okay.
Yeah, but it's like evolved apes, like chimps.
Well, let's tell them what the
chimps
does.
In all of these things, we'll probably just talk. I don't know. Kara and I have separate notes whenever we do this, but a lot of the things I talk about, chimps know. I think they always refer to like evolved apes, yes. So
okay,
I think
well,
there's
let's
a subsection
them.
That branches off where chimps go one way, apes then go into humans another way.
Got it. Okay.
Unless you're really into the Bible.
So I don't know what that means.
We didn't evolve from apes. Shout out Adam and Eve.
So weird. Okay.
It'd be pretty weird if we all had like one parent that went, I mean, that would be some interesting offspring.
Incest. Well, maybe that's our problem. Maybe that's why we're at where we are. Right. So anyway, these four known animals, bees, ants, humans, and ravens.
I think there was like a sex shop growing up that was called Adam and Eve's that like, I remember like being in high school and being like, let's go to Adam and Eve's. Like nobody really had the balls to go in there. Then I think like we were like seniors, we're like, let's just go in. And we walked in and we felt like such weird, creepy people.
Yeah,
we laughed right away.
Yeah. You're like, if it's dirty in here.
I think it was one of those spots you like park in the back. Like they purposely have the parking lot behind the sex shop because in case like, I don't know, somebody's husband or wife is driving by, they're like, Carl, you're at the sex shop? Like, no, you park in the back. So you got to really work to see
who's
there.
Sounds like a really high class facility.
Yeah. We went to Catholic school, so.
Went
with the priests.
So these four animals demonstrate displacement, which I'd never even heard of. And displacement is like a linguistic
displacement.
Yeah, it's a linguistic term.
I wrote this down too.
We read the same internet page. It's the capability of language to communicate things that are not immediately present, either spatially or temporarily. So things that are either not here or not here now. So it's like concepts that exist. Like a human can be like, where is my wallet? And think of that because the wallet doesn't exist in the here and the now. So it's like planning for events, which I know. I mean,
but it's not the planning so much as it's the
communication
of
the communication.
Yeah. Distant event. Distance meaning, yeah, time or place.
Yes. So they found that ravens can.
Ravens, bees.
I said that.
Ants.
Already.
Yeah, I'm asking.
And humans.
Okay.
Human apes. Yeah.
Termites are in the mix in some of this that I read. It was interesting. The three smartest insects. Number one, what up, bees? Number two, ants. Number three, termites.
Ants are crazy.
Yeah, dude.
All right. So like an example of this for ravens would be if there were some, I don't know if this is true, but like adult ravens that are mated hang out together and then unmated ravens hang out together. So like if adult ravens were at a carcass and an unmated raven saw them there and they were like, oh my God, there's this carcass here. Like, let's eat. They can go back to their, I don't know, what's a gaggle of ravens called? Do you know? A murder?
Unkindness.
Shut up.
Unkindness.
Unkindness is a group of ravens?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they're like so demonized. I feel like that's just rude, but okay. So an unkindness of unmated ravens, like a raven could go back to its unkindness, its group, and say, hey, there is a carcass down the road tomorrow. Let's all get together and let's go to the carcass and scare away the adults.
And they know like the carcass needs to be there for another day before it's like good pickings.
And so they communicate to one another and then they can together go eat. So, and like, yeah.
Okay. How about it's nuts. So a lot of this is really interesting too. Like reading all these scientists, these researchers, studies and experiments that they've done. And at the after we talk about this, I looked up like why. Because so many of these things are like, oh, it's interesting to learn, but like, why are we learning it? But anyway, so ravens have been known to alert predators, like a mountain lion,
for instance.
Oh, yes,
I saw this.
To alert a mountain lion that, yo, there's something you want to eat over here. And it like gets the attention of the mountain lion and is like, follow me, dude. There's something over here you want. Or it'll make noise that like the mountain lion will be like, wait, that's usually a raven. The noise a raven makes when there's a food source, I'll go check it out. But here's the thing. The food source isn't... The raven can't, like, kill... They literally say that a raven can alert a mountain lion when a human is hiking.
Mm.
And because the raven can't just, like, go eat a human.
Right.
But if a mountain lion kills it and rips its entrails out and does whatever, then the raven can come back and clean up everything else.
It's wild.
So it, like, creates its food through another animal... Mind-boggling to me. So rad.
Yeah.
But that's not even what we're talking about. That's like problem solving that's going on a whole nother level for an animal. But they communicate amongst each other about distance and time, which is just...
Yeah, so bees do that.
Yeah, so we know that bees do that by bees come back, you know, Carl von Frisch and wherever, 1800 year that was, like, figured out the waggle dance. Like, they are communicating something that's in the distance, going, this is what it is. This is how you get to it. Go.
And whether it's
pollen
sources, nectar sources, scalpies are finding a new place to live.
And they found, like, all these animals can do similar things, but they're doing it in a different way where it's more just, like, pattern recognition of, like, oh, so-and-so just came back from this direction. I'm going to go check out that direction because they're carrying food. But it's not like they're not coming back, that insect isn't coming back to its nest and being like, hey, Joan, why don't you go over this way and fly this direction because there's a badass source of goldenrod there. It's just like, hey, I'm going to go inspect what I'm seeing. But it's not a communication like that.
So ants can do the same thing. Ants can communicate food sources. So like ants can say, and one ant can go out and see that there is a food source, but it's too heavy for the one ant to carry back. So it goes to its colony and tells its colony, hey, let's all go to this food source and together we can carry it back. So it's the same kind of like out of the space of the here and now, it's the there, and they can communicate and understand that. Wild.
Yeah. Can we talk about I just did a deep dive into ravens and read for a few hours on ravens. Can we just like talk about
how you tell me
ravens are so rad. Ravens play.
Yes, I saw that.
And has anybody else seen those like YouTube videos where like a raven will like grab like a piece of wood and like put it on top of a roof and sled down it on snow, like over and over again? They literally will play. Not only do they play, they make fun of other animals.
Okay.
Just for fun, ravens will mock another animal. Like, literally, a raven will be in a tree, and an animal, like, won't be able to reach something. And apparently, they just make fun of it and, like, have a way of laughing at other animals. I mean, come on. That's amazing.
Yeah.
They make toys.
Yeah, I saw they
make toys. So not only do they make tools, which, you know, there's a few animals, and I feel like you keep seeing animals that are making tools.
Yeah,
like
fish.
Yeah. It looks like a really rad book I'm going to get called Can Fish Count?
Mm.
And it talks about a lot of this stuff. And then another book called In the Company of Crows and Ravens.
Ooh.
Which, yeah, that sounds super rad. But anyway, they make toys. So amazing. They mock animals. I can't not laugh at that. Ravens communicate with verbal signals, but also hand signals.
Mm.
They like do hand and beak signals to signal to other ravens about things. Like, they don't want to make noise. They use hand and beak signals.
And that's like the thing, is language is beyond words.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause yeah, exactly. Bees are not communicating through words. They're right. Communicating through pheromones and through,
movement
and vibration. Ravens also have shown, they're one of the very few animals, dolphins being the kind of the leader in this, that show empathy.
Mm-hmm.
So when a raven, there's all these different ways they showed it, but when a raven loses a fight, one of its family members will console it and be like, "We're sorry you lost the fight, man. Like, aww, cheer up." And they like try to cheer the raven up. I know.
I'm so glad we saw ravens so we could learn so much about them. Yeah,
and they show empathy over death. They mate for life, which I love.
It's always so special.
Yeah, exactly. It makes me happy. Although, I don't know. Maybe they're like missing out.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, maybe humans are dumb for doing that.
I think there's a certain degree of that, right?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, you know, marriage, we're celebrating like 8 years up here.
We're like, maybe it's not how you're supposed to do it.
But I always like the comedian Doug Stanhope is such a great bit where he's like, everybody's like, "When are you getting married? When are you getting married?" And he's like, "You're right. I love my girl so much. I want to involve the government." Like, yeah, that's really a good way of putting what marriage is.
Yeah.
But yeah, they show empathy. So, so awesome. Here's some evolutionary stuff that I find really, really interesting. Bees have a little under 1 million neurons in their tiny little bee brains.
Okay. How many do you know how many humans have?
Funny you ask. 86 billion.
Wow.
So, I mean, the difference between a million and a billion is a crazy amount, but the difference between 86 billion and a million, yeah. It's not the size of the brain. It's not and a lot of scientists thought the number of neurons firing is how, you know, is showing like level of smartness, intelligence. It's not that. Like, bees pretty much and ants and have disproven this whole neurons thing. In most of the studies about like, so bees can count. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They understand counting. A lot of animals understand counting to a pretty impressive degree. A lot of animals understand counting. And the way they tested all these animals for this was with seeing the neurons firing, and they can just tell in these different ways, like the neurons are firing similar 1, then 2, then 3, then 4, like 1 and 2 are more similar than 1 and 5. And the reaction between 1 and 2 is a similar neuron firing reaction as between 5 and 6.
I would love to see how they test this.
Like, I know, like little, I just tiny, keep picturing like bee wearing like a little hat, yeah, like a little hat with like, yeah, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids hat.
Yeah, a colander.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm picturing too. It's got to be the case. It's
obviously what it is.
So it's interesting, but all right, so this is where I was like, why is there so many of these studies? Like, what is it getting to? And it comes down to evolution. A lot of it, at least, seems to come down to evolutionary science. And scientists have found a way to link gene development and different genes with types of learning. So, like, there's genes for numerical learning that are different than genes for language communication, mm-hmm, right? And if those scientists can then discover where these genes developed in evolution, they have a greater chance of, I think, being able to discover like what gene, like a really early gene that is affecting learning disabilities. So like,
I was going to say, this is all about us. The reason that they're doing it,
scientists are doing it, it's got to be about us, right?
I think it's to better, when we better understand the world around us, that we can better understand ourselves, even though we want to disconnect ourselves from nature.
So what's interesting is that bees, ants, and ravens have very, like they, 300 million, 60 million years ago is when they broke off from like this gene mm-hmm. trail, right? Mm-hmm. And they went their separate way, and they've been separated for that long. So bees have been separated from like human development by like 300 million years, right? Like we all technically kind of started at the same thing. And then the line...
Adam and Eve.
shout out that porn store. I mean...
You're weird.
So what's crazy is that like the gene development for numerical counting can't be linked in this way because bees have it, but this other animal doesn't have it. Like,
okay,
and they branched off from the same place. So like where in their genetic evolution did it become either learned or, you know, evolved or both? Is that how it evolves? But if you can really deconstruct that those genes and where they came from, maybe there's hope, a little more hope for like really discovering the root causes of a genetic mutation that leads to a learning disability.
Like dysgraphia is the inability or a disability in math.
Right, so right. Like, that's like dyslexia, but for math or something, right? Like,
basically.
Yeah. So it's like really just diving deeper and deeper and deeper into where that root could be coming from. And that's why they are testing this stuff on bugs.
Scientists are so cool, man. They're the coolest.
They are the coolest. But how often do you hear like a scientific study and you're like, what are they wasting all this money on? Like what? But like my dumb brain, dumb lizard brain isn't like, you know, four levels deeper that like this could actually lead to something unbelievably amazing. But you got to start at the root. What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool stuff.
Such cool stuff.
Thank you, ravens, for flying around and sending us on this internet exploration.
Yeah, I was going to just read for a few hours on ants, and I was like, I got to get off this. Like, I've been looking at my phone for too long.
Well, Ant Wars is interesting, but it doesn't have anything to do with this whole idea of linguistic displacement. But Ant Wars is basically for people have been studying Ant Wars for ever. Like, there's history of Ant Wars.
Shout out our boy, our little man Wolfie. So our buddy's son is like literally making a children's book on Ant Wars.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. I haven't seen it yet.
And he's the best. I want to read his book.
I know, but it's about Ant Wars, and he like loves ants and is like super interested in it because it's, you know.
So the one thing, so the thing about ants is they can identify who is in their colony and who is not. So it's basically us versus them, and they have a strong identity of that. But Ant Wars is a lot of it has to do with like resources. Like, we're going to take all these resources and then you can't have these resources. It's like a resource war more than a battle.
Blocking of resources, which like really isn't that what all wars have been like throughout time?
Yeah.
You know, like
we talked about the Manuka.
You could either go kill everybody or you could just stop them from eating.
We talked about like the Manuka plant wars because of Manuka honey and the profitability of it in the last podcast, just like that kind of idea. But ant wars, I think like when humans are gone, ants are going to rule. Because they
maybe they'll rule while we're here.
Well, they're like so ancient. Ants are
in
like
a world
forever ago
where ants are fed up.
I don't want to live in that world. That seems scary.
If any ants are listening to this, like, we're cool, dog. Like, we're cool. We think you're really smart. We talked about that. Like, maybe, you know, spare us a little bit.
I think we're going to be gone before the ants take over.
In a world. Yeah. No, I'm into that.
Cool.
What else was really cool?
I don't know. Or we could just be done short and sweet this time.
Bee brains. So rad.
Yeah.
the collective consciousness, though, when I was like, oh, let's crack collective consciousness, and I was like, collective consciousness, that is this thing that we experience, or that these bugs are experiencing, and animals, it's something different, and it hasn't been linked up directly. Here's something I thought was pretty wild. So these researchers did these studies on ants, and they found that ants are able to stay at the same rate of movement up to 80% density, meaning like they are so packed together, but the more packed together they get, they don't lose a single stride, but they can't figure out how they're able to communicate with each other to not get in each other's way. The best humans have ever done in a study is 40%. So they like made 40% density, and at 40%, at 40.1%, they started losing a stride because they couldn't keep up because they're too close to each other and they couldn't communicate to each other to do it. But ants up to 80%. And what they did that study by like basically making a bridge to food. They kept narrowing the bridge more and more and more, and they never lost a step. They just were able to get closer and closer and closer and closer to each other and move at the same pace and get to the final objective hurting themselves.
Did fish or birds come into that play?
I was wondering the same thing, because there's those amazing birds and fish in the sea where they're swimming next to each other in these crazy tight groups and they just move on a dime.
We also were watching seagulls. We're sitting at the lake watching seagulls, and this one seagull, it had to have been a juvenile, and it kept screwing up everybody and like almost running. It was like they were like yelling at this one bird. They're like, dude, you're the worst. And the bird was like, I'm trying my best.
I really think that was a juvenile, and it was like two parents that were like, you're an idiot. Maybe projecting a little bit on that one, but I feel like they were like not positively reinforcing that child.
I think they were just like, get out of the way, we're going to crash.
And there was a raven in the woods just mocking the whole thing, just laughing at them. I do want to try one more beer.
Okay.
Should we crack one more?
Sure. Do we have anything to talk about?
This beer has been sitting for a little bit in our fridge, and I keep wanting to crack it during a podcast, and we just haven't been able to. But this is
the drunken vacation version. We're not really drunk, but...
Yo, Lake Life... So much better than Ocean Life.
I think so.
I don't understand.
Especially when you can live right on the lake.
I guess if you want like people, if you want to like, it's not like often you're going to a lake and then like maybe like big lakes like in Michigan and stuff, but where they're essentially oceans, but like you're not like bars and stuff. Like it's not a nightlife scene, lake vacation versus beach vacation. You're going partying.
Here you're drinking around a campfire and going midnight kayaking to look at the stars. The stars here
This is what hooked us originally.
You, yeah. Because you looked up. You can see the Milky Way. It's so gorgeous. So we've been getting on the kayak and going out and looking up. And so many shooting stars. So much beautiful nature.
First time we came up here. We arrived at like 3 a.m. Good. We arrived at like 3 a.m. We get out of the car, just like, you know, gnarly driving. We get out of the car. We're not sure where we are. We thought we were in the right place. We opened the door to somebody's cabin, thinking it was our cabin. And I like ran into somebody sleeping on a couch.
I was like, there's people in here
sleeping. And I like slowly backed away. And we heard somebody like,
there's snowmobilers.
Carl, is that you? You going to the bathroom, Carl? And I was like, got in the car and ran away. Yeah.
Like, oh, we're not there yet.
But we get out of the car and I'm like just tense and stressed because we'd been driving and didn't know where we were and there's no cell service. And I look up and I go, holy shit. That's why they call it the Milky Way.
Yeah.
I never knew why it was called the Milky Way.
Yeah.
And it just is so vivid, this like stream of milk and in the sky of just these tight congregation of stars and just mind.
Yeah. The thing about being here and like connection with animals is just, you're just completely, I am just completely present, like completely in the experience of the now, of what's happening. Like the mind is clear Such a gift. What is this beer that you just cracked?
Chug the rest of the beer you just filled up so you can have some of this, because this beer is really good.
All right. I'm going to have to use the restroom soon, so we should wrap it up.
Yeah, we're wrapping it up. But I just keep missing out trying. I have like three more honey beers in the fridge.
We can drink them by the lake.
This is Bicycle Tour. Shout out to Ben and Kurt. This is Second District in Philadelphia. Bicycle Tour. It's a mixed fermentation sour ale. It's dry hopped with Sabro and bottle conditioned with local honey. I wasn't able to hook up with them to get them honey when they were bottling this beer. Would have been super cool to get.
I like those guys. They were first. I mean, they did the collab that one time we hung out, right?
Yeah. Ben was there. Yeah, Ben. We did the collab with a bunch of breweries.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ben. Whatever. Dude, Ben's the man. That dude is awesome. And his partner Kate. She's rad. She's totally involved in the beer industry. But like, so he hit me up. He's like, dude, I got this thing. I think it's gonna go really well with honey. Like, I just decided right now I want to bottle condition it with honey. He's like, I got to do it tomorrow. Like, are you in the city? I was like, dude, I'm not back for like a week. I can't. So next time, but this I think is another really good example. And the Referend, which would be the next bottle that we have.
Love Referend, man. They're great.
Referend in New Jersey. Shout out our friend Amy, who actually gave us the bottle. You're gonna have to look at the bottle. There's like with a marker pen, there's an arrow pointing up, and I'm like, why is there an arrow drawn on the side of this bottle? There's a little tiny chip in the top of the bottle.
She drew an arrow to it. She's so sweet. Referend, they're such, I mean, if you don't know Referend, if you don't know Second District or Threes, like all great breweries to check out.
Yeah, but so Referend, I think every bottle they do, they bottle condition with honey.
Or I guess Referend is a blendery, not a brewery. Is that what it's called?
Well, they now have a brew house.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, at the new location. They have like wood-fired.
Wait, they moved?
Yeah. They took over that farm in Kutztown, Pennsylvania.
I've been seeing on that Instagram, but I didn't know that was it. Yeah. What? We got to go there. Oh,
I know. We totally need to get there. I haven't been able to pull it off. I've been trying.
Oh, let's do it this fall.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I was wondering about that. I'm like, did they move? Yes, they did.
But it's really cool because, again, so when you bottle a beer, you have to leave a little bit of sugar in it so that little bit of re-fermentation can happen, and that's how a bottle gets carbonation, right? I'm talking like a big bottle, not like a 12-ounce bottle.
Because of the pooping and the vomiting, right?
Yes, Cara. Yes. Mainly the farting. Farting of CO2, yes. And since honey is such a simple sugar.
Yes, got that.
It's able to just, but with a barrel-aged beer like this one, or you know, mixed fermentation beer like this one, I think it really does a great job helping that clean up some of those flavors, and it just makes for
defined,
beautiful flavors.
When you said about the dryness of it, I can taste that in the collective consciousness as far as the main beer, more than I ever have.
So this bottle was dry hopped with Sabro, which I think is really interesting move too. Sabro is it's a kind of a newer hop out of the Yakima Valley, like Washington, Oregon, Idaho area.
Hybrid?
Yeah, they all are at this point. So it was a cross-pollination of a couple different hops. But the flavors you get out of this, and do you have this in your glass yet? You gotta try this. The flavors you get out of it are like, I mean, you get like a coconut kind of thing, but then I go into like sawdust, like cedar sawdust kind of a thing. And I think it plays really, really well with the sour notes. Sabro is one of those hops that people fail when they do like a single hopped beer with Sabro, like a single hopped pale ale or IPA, and it never works. But dry hopping.
Ooh, I like this. Doesn't
that, like, can you taste that, like, what is cedar kind of note?
It's so good.
Bicycle Tour, Second District.
Second District Bicycle Tour.
Yeah, this Loving is it. Really, really nice.
Go out and buy your beer, people, if you're still listening.
Let's get hammered right
people
now.
People are always like, vodka. I fall asleep to your podcast. I think people get it like 20 minutes in, and they're like...
what about, so last episode was, we talked about hallucinogenic honey, and our buddy, when he pressed play on Apple.
Oh yes. Podcasts, this is hilarious.
I guess there's like right near the play button, you can do like faster or slower. So you can do like half time or you can do like 1.5. So, you know, if it's 1.5, we'd be talking like this and then you get through a podcast really quickly, but you can still hear all the words. or if you're in 0.5, the words are good. So he was like, he started it and didn't know it was slowed down, and it's like, welcome to Mind Your Eyes. We're talking hallucinogenic honey. And he was like, oh man, they're on hallucinogens and they're doing the podcast. This is gonna be crazy. They're talking so nuts right now. And then he's like, wait a second,
It's slowed down.
This is on me.
So great.
So yeah, if you have a problem with how long our podcast is, just like listen to it a little faster.
That is.
And you just, you know.
I used to watch.
Micro Machines?
No. This Saved is by the Bell? Cheating.
History Teacher?
You're getting closer. I would watch the movie for the book and I would play it in speed so I could watch it quicker.
Can you still hear it?
Yeah, it just goes really fast like this. That was a good impression.
Oh, you're ridiculous.
You're ridiculous.
And that worked. Was that a VHS only thing, or can you do that on DVDs?
I don't even remember.
Well, all right.
Or maybe you know what it was? If you hit fast forward once, maybe you can watch it really faster. Somebody out there knows what I'm talking about.
Were you trying to be fast when you said that?
Yeah.
That time? Because it didn't work?
It was very fast. All right.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to our little drunken vacation episode.
Yeah, this was fun.
You ever want to go to a really cool place?
Don't come here. It's ours. Stay out.
Yeah, but...
go somewhere else.
Go up north. There's cool lakes and there's cool places and they're chill. And these like little towns, they need people to come and support them.
Yeah, we're supporting a single, not a single family, because she supports so many other people.
Yeah, but it's just it's not a corporation, you know? Like, this woman and her family own, like, a bunch of cabins, and she's grown this family.
Yeah, we talked to her last night.
It's people just, that work for her, and just, they're all so awesome. And I feel like, you know, go somewhere outside of your zone and find a place like this, because this changed our life. Like, literally.
It set the tone for everything.
It really, like... I think it took us on a different path just being here so many times and just like what this is. And
we love it.
We love it. Shout out Pittsburgh, New Hampshire.
Love you, Pittsburgh, New Hampshire.
And love everybody that's listened this long. We really appreciate it. Check out Carajo Skincare as always.
Bug repellent is needed. Dude, deodorant. If you need deodorant, if you're kind of natural deodorant, first of all, if you're not using natural deodorant, you should be. And it's good. It's good shit. You should use it.
Check out Bar Hill Gin.
Bar Hill.
Look up a recipe that uses honey simple syrup.
Mm.
Bar Hill Gin, some honey simple syrup, a little bit of tonic with some flavoring. Unbelievable. Or like the classic cucumber mint type.
Greg makes good cocktails.
Cucumber mint. Throw some Bar Hill Gin in there. Maybe a touch of vodka. A little bit of elderflower liqueur. Mm. It is the best summer drink. Saint Germain.
Yeah.
Check out Threes Brewing. We love them. They are such good people. Slowly We Learn is a barrel-aged sour that they just came out with. Barrel-aged Saison. Forest and Main, as always.
What was the referend?
Second District that we just drank. Bicycle Tour.
That is,
I think,
so
they're
good.
Sold out of this bottle now because I've been sitting on it for a little bit. But check out, everything they make is so good. The referend, we'll have to crack some referend beers next time, maybe.
Okay.
But... The referend in New Jersey/Pennsylvania.
They're such amazing people. I just love
them.
Same
thing. It's like
I love them.
All the folks I'm talking about right now are like, in my mind, kind of the equivalent of farmers. But you know, it's like getting your food from the farm. It's getting your beer from these people. Like,
oh, yeah.
You're getting food from a farm, not, you know, asshole giant breweries that are corporations. Whatever. I'm sure they serve a purpose. At least they employ some people. But I prefer to go right to the farm.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that's what everybody should do.
Carajo Skincare, farm to face.
Anyway, thanks again, everybody. Till next time.
Bye.
We love y'all.